Welcome to another edition of Marketing Insights, a monthly podcast where we talk to industry leaders about key issues, trends, legislative initiatives, and association news that affects all of us who serve the construction, industrial, and MRO markets. Sit back now and enjoy as we learn together.
Welcome to another edition of Marketing Insights. Today we're going to be talking about trends in distribution and what it means to the supplier-distributor relationship. And today we are fortunate to have Lindsay Konczak, editor of Modern Distribution Management, also known as MDM. Lindsay has been the editor of MDM since 2005. And she's researched and authored hundreds of articles on trends and issues in the independent distribution channel. And she's also contributed to the Outlook 2009, published by the National Association of Wholesale Distributors. She received her MBA from the University of Colorado, Leeds School of Business. And I think we have a good expert in the distributor field that deals with distributors as well as manufacturers in these issues to talk about this this current subject. So, Lindsay, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us.
Well, thank you very much, John. I'm happy to be here.
Well, good. Before we start, I thought we'd give a brief overview of what MDM is for listeners who may not know who you are and the newsletter that you put out. MDM is a subscription-based newsletter founded in 1967, and it covers management issues facing wholesale distribution executives. And also, these issues include business intelligence, analysis of industry news and trends, and they also give out practical ideas for from leading experts in the field. And you can find out more about MDM by going to www.mdm.com. So, enough for the background. Let's get into it, Lindsay, as to this supplier-distributor relationship. How have the channel dynamics changed over the past couple of decades, and what has been the impact of the recession that we're starting now to come out of on this channel relationship?
Well, John, there's always, as many people know, been tension between manufacturer and distributor, or as I'll refer to the manufacturer sometimes during this call, as a supplier and distributor. And the notion of partnership, which is thrown around a lot, is often in word only. There's a lot of conflict in the channel and a lot of opportunities for improvement. Al Bates, who we work with frequently, he's a longtime industry expert, and his focus is really on building profitability. He wrote for us about 6 years ago that conflict is often driven by different goals. Manufacturers want distributors to compete in their territories, while distributors would prefer to have exclusive territory for that brand. Manufacturers want attention paid to their brands, while distributors focus on a mix of products to meet end-user demand. And finally, manufacturers are often more focused on sales growth and market share. Distributors are usually more focused on profitability. A few years ago, I wrote a couple of articles on the topic of shifts in channel relationships based on discussions with several distributors and manufacturers and other experts who follow the channel. In those articles, I highlighted a number of factors that are changing the nature of channel management. These include the emergence of private label, in other words, distributors having their own brands in addition to the manufacturer's brands, converging channels and distribution where distributors are selling products outside their core, the push into new sales territories online and off, and this includes big box retailers and other online e-commerce sites, the rise of integrated supply and national accounts, and finally, more powerful consumers, more powerful end users, thanks to more information than ever before available online. That's really driving a lot of the shifts that we're seeing. The distributor also has a lot more power in the channel than it used to. In the past, in most sectors, it was, as one person once told me, sacrilegious to carry more than one brand. Manufacturers had exclusivity at the distributors they picked. They wrote most of the agreements. They set the policies. They decided what the distributor should stock. And this has largely changed, and some sectors still see this, of course. I'm speaking in generalities, but for the most part, the distributor, driven by end-user demand for more options, has pulled away from this way of doing business. And I feel like the recession and a lot of the trends that we'll discuss here in a few minutes has really exacerbated some of this and really continued to push that power to the distributor and really, highlighted a lot of these issues that have arisen, I guess, in the past decade that's kind of changed the way channels are managed.
You would think, though, that in this harder times and things slow down, that the manufacturer and the distributor would work closer hand in hand to get those sales that are out there, because again, they're both there to make money.
You would definitely think that, but I think part of, and we'll talk about this later, but I think part of it is that, you know, underlying all of these, this desire to kind of add that value and work closer together is always that question of price, and price always kind of muddies the water. So I think that's part of what the challenge is.
Okay. Well, let's discuss the four trends in distribution that you recently outlined as a part of the MDM's 2011 distribution landscape report, and what those have meant to the supplier-distributor relationship. The first trend you outlined is that customers want more?
Yeah. Every year we interview dozens of distributors and experts for our annual landscape report, as you mentioned, and this year nearly all of them said that they are seeing an increase in demand for services from their customers. The challenge, of course, is that, as I was mentioning before, there's a high price sensitivity. Many end users want that increase in service in return for very little or for nothing. Price sensitivity was at an all-time high, and I think it continues to be pretty high. Some of these services that end users are demanding: consultations, VMI or consigned inventory, improved online support, turnkey installations, training videos, repairs, green-related services, an increase in technical services or knowledge at the counter. I mean, basically, the bottom line is that customers have pared back staff and resources in response to the recession, and so they are looking for their distributors to perform more services for them. Unfortunately, while adding services tends to make the relationship between the distributor and the customer more sticky, so to speak, manufacturers don't always incentivize or support distributor efforts in this area. This topic, of course, could take us in a number of directions when discussing the supplier-distributor relationship, but I guess the bottom line is this: if manufacturers would consistently reward distributors for the value they are driving to their customers, price may become less of an issue. Mike Marks of Indian River Consulting Group, who frequently contributes to MDM and doesn't typically mince words, said it this way: don't overcompensate your distributors to do a bunch of things customers don't value, and don't undercompensate. Just get everything aligned so that people are doing what you want them to do, and there's a level of dialogue. He points out manufacturers need to unhook discounts or incentives from the transaction size or volume. And while this is perhaps easier said than done, distributors often depend on volume-based rebates for profitability at the end of a quarter. But I think for those who are willing, there's a lot of opportunity right now for manufacturers and distributors to partner to meet these growing service demands.
But it's funny. You say it should change. We all agree on paper that it should change. But again, the manufacturers are used to doing business a certain way. The distributors, as you mentioned, are used to getting those end of the quarter rebates. Again, it's all a thought process. It really a change of mind on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, it really does require a mind shift, and I think that's why a lot of experts recommend you start small, because you find that partner that you can work with to kind of start to make some of these shifts and try some of these ideas out, because it really is a big process to make this change.
Well, I guess too, if you do it with one supplier, the model's there, and you can take those successes to another supplier. Say, look what we've done with Brand X. and we want to try to do the same model with you. So that probably makes more sense to do it that way, to start off
exactly.
slow.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, well, while the end user is cutting back, both distributors and manufacturers have shown reluctance to hire, despite growing demand in some sectors, as you mentioned. This is a second threat. What impact has this had on the channel relationship?
Well, productivity is definitely at an all-time high, which is kind of a way of saying fewer people are doing more. And current conditions have really raised the bar to find ways to kind of cut costs and waste out of the supply chain. For example, Lean, which I'm sure you're familiar with, was already an extremely popular tool for manufacturers to implement. The past 5 years or so, it's really taken off in distribution. Distributors are taking advantage of this process improvement tool to shave costs and waste out of their systems as well as up and down the supply chain. So smart distributors and manufacturers are working closely to do this, recognizing there's opportunity to improve profitability up and down the supply chain. Many are also including key end users in this evaluation process, recognizing they can not only provide a service for the end user, but that there are a lot of costs incurred at the end user level that affect the entire supply chain. Bob Conti, who I spoke with recently for our MDM Executive Briefing webcast series, he is with Sales Apex and the Alexander Group, and he does a lot in the area of sales management with manufacturers and distributors. He talked a little bit about process mapping. And so this trend of productivity, increased productivity, and the reluctance to hire to kind of meet this growing demand, I think it demands some of these process improvement tools. And this was one way of kind of getting at truly understanding how things are done between the distributor and the manufacturer and even down to the end user level. He recommends to start with the trusted partner. As I mentioned earlier, starting small is usually the best way to approach this, and to assemble kind of a cross-functional team. So you're not just looking at sales and you're not just, you know, looking at finance. You're looking across the organization and creating a process map, which looks at every step of how products are created, distributed, and sold to the end customer. It seems to me that doing this would really highlight where there are opportunities to improve productivity by cutting out redundancies, and even more importantly, without straining the resources you already have.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. A part of doing things more efficiently is in how you approach, I guess, inventory management would be one. I guess that's the third trend that you outlined, an increase of focus on better inventory management and better planning. What kind of opportunities has this presented for the channel partners?
Yeah, inventory management is definitely huge, and it always, you know, kind of has been, but I think there's been definitely an increased kind of hyper-focus on this area in the past few years. Because despite demand growing really quite quickly in some sectors, distributors and manufacturers have been very reluctant to increase inventories at the same pace. Instead, many have increased their focus on forecasting, in other words, determining when and what to buy. We speak with John Shreve-Peter a lot. He's kind of known as the inventory management expert in distribution. And I really like this way, how he kind of put it to us. We were working on this report. He said, we're in good times, we were using SWG, which he says is scientific wild guessing. People would quantities because it just felt good. You know, there was very little planning and they didn't have a lot of incentive to plan because the, you know, product was just flying out the door. We're now seeing people question every large purchase and really evaluating the need. And it's not just at the distributor and manufacturer level. End users are also looking to cut their inventory investment, which, of course, has provided opportunities, again, at the distributor and manufacturer level. Vendor-managed inventory programs are in greater demand when the supplier will manage the replenishment process for the customer. And results in lower costs all around. Consignment is also in greater demand. Master distributors have also stepped in and become a much more important piece of the pie post-recession in helping reduce inventory investment for both distributors and manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this brings up probably more topics than we could cover today in terms of issues, inventory management issues between manufacturers and distributors. But one issue I'll point out, this point of sale data by manufacturers. When distributors provide point of sale data to their suppliers, information about customer buying habits, basically, It can help increase inventory accuracy and turns. And this is increasingly a topic that we're hearing, you know, across the board. Manufacturers want more of it. Distributors are continue to be skeptical, though some have found manufacturers that they trust, some of their supplier partners, to work closer together and kind of meet, create a win-win, if you will, with this. But for the most part, a lot of distributors are still skeptical of this practice because they're very protective of their customers' data, and they just don't want suppliers to go around them to go direct to the end user. So that's one issue that kind of comes out of this kind of tighter inventory management and the demands that kind of surround this issue.
Well, it sounds logical on paper, but again, until the distributors and the suppliers trust each other, it's kind of like if you're always looking over your shoulder, it's going to be kind of hard to get really dig in. And in order to get good results, you need good data. And if they're not willing to share that, that just makes it even more difficult to get to the same place.
Exactly, and I think it's becoming more important. And there's so many great tools out there that you can take that data, feed it in, and it can really give you a much better view of what your markets look like, right, and where the opportunities exist. And for a manufacturer and a distributor to sit down and create that marketing plan, I mean that could result in greater profitability and sales for both down the road. But you do have to find a partner that you can trust to do that with, and it usually just takes one supplier to kind of, or distributor to break that trust for that to kind of break that cycle.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of issues, and I think that's definitely something we at MDM will be looking at, writing about in the future. So.
Yeah. Well, the fourth trend in your study too is an increased focus on diversification by distributors. How are distributors and manufacturers working together to support this goal? Is this a positive development?
Definitely. After the recession, more distributors of all sizes, I mean, from, you know, the one or two branch distributor to the national or international distributor, say they recognize the need to prioritize diversification into new markets or product types to buffer their companies from the ups and downs of cyclical business. Historically, of course, as I kind of mentioned earlier, this kind of trend in the past, distributors kind of looking to sell outside of what their typical core was, has increased tension because manufacturers often want distributors to stay focused on their product lines and not have those efforts diluted or competing with other types of products or private label offerings. But Kevin Boyle, who is on the MDM board, it comes from Loctite, actually, a manufacturer, he pointed out to me that more diversification is actually should be a very positive development for manufacturers. Distributors get more of a customer spend. It makes them more profitable in the long run, which hopefully will keep them in business longer. And it also grows loyalty at the end user, all of which should be a positive for manufacturers. Master distributors or redistributors in some sectors or wholesalers, they sell only to distributors, but they benefit both the manufacturer and the distributor because they allow distributors to diversify without significant inventory investment, and they've had a increasingly growing role post-recession because of this trend of distributors looking to diversify. They allow smaller distributors to compete at a higher level for national counter-integrated supply contracts with less investment, and they also reduce transaction costs and volume discount pressures on the manufacturer side. So they are playing an increasingly growing role in that channel as kind of a go-between between the manufacturer and distributor to kind of make diversification an easier process for the distributor, but make it less, burdensome on the manufacturer. I don't know if that's the perfect way to put that, but I think I would be remiss not to mention the role they play both in this trend as well as the inventory management trend.
Right, right. Well, it sounds like that study was very insightful in bringing on. I mean, those four points alone will keep an army of people on both sides of the fence here busy for some time here. So,
definitely.
I guess a wrap-up question would be, based on your discussions with these experts and distributors and manufacturers over the years, what final thoughts do you have on developing partnerships that go beyond just talk?
picture. I really liked the way Bob Conti, who I mentioned earlier, approached this question. He really boiled it down to the basics when he said companies typically approach manufacturer-distributor partnerships from an internal perspective. It's like a marriage. If you selfishly approach it by always looking at what you're getting without paying attention to what the other person needs, chances are you're going to encounter a rocky road. But if distributors and manufacturers take time to kind of step back, figure out what they can do to fulfill the needs of their channel partners, they can avoid reverting back to price as the center of the discussion and really start to come up with ways to strengthen how they service the end user. I mean, there's so many great opportunities out there. He also talks a lot about recognizing the strengths and motivations of your channel partners. I think people often forget about this aspect of things, and it sounds so simple, but in several articles in our archives, when I was kind of searching for kind of how this people have approached this problem over the years, I found reference to the fact that manufacturers and distributors have different motivations, and that kind of underlies a lot of the conflict or the back and forth that we've seen over the years. Clearly, they are looking for different things at different times in their life cycles, and if they recognize this in their channel partners, they may be able to move forward on how best to meet these goals together. For example, distributors often want better support, co-op advertising, or customized products, and manufacturer may want distributors to sell more of the product lines, sell to new accounts, or to focus more on selling value. Part of their motivations are related to where they are in their own business cycles. Bob Conti outlined for me recently, for some, their approach is they are focused on growing as quickly as possible and maximizing market share, which obviously would affect the way they approach their partnerships. In other words, they may be looking to add as many partners as possible. But others may be looking to downsize and optimize what they have because they've already met their market share goals. And this seems to me to be like such a basic concept. And it's, maybe it's one of those things you don't see the forest for the trees or something, but just going down to those basics, I think, would really make a huge difference for manufacturers and distributors when they're planning their way forward. As I said, none of this is easy based on all of the people I've ever talked to, distributors, manufacturers, different experts who follow the channel, and we're certainly not going to see a lot of high-level profitable partnerships on a broad level, but as I mentioned earlier, distributors and manufacturers can work with partners they already trust to build out a process to improve efficiencies and profitability up and down the supply chain. I think, and I'm a big believer in this, small moves focused on the right segments, very targeted, can really make a big difference.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I wish that some of these manufacturer distributor meetings, association meetings that I attend, and I'm sure you do as well, they're so focused on doing little seminars or whatever on just cash flow or a specific topic that they want to go for 2 hours, which is, I guess, important short-term, but long-term, again, the manufacturer doesn't benefit by having distributors go out of business. Because, again, if they wanted to sell direct, they wouldn't be going through distribution in the first place. I mean, the distributor does serve a purpose in this chain, and again, once they both of those guys realize that it's going to be better off for everybody. But it would be nice to have some of these meetings, maybe at the executive meeting, that we put some sort of a task force together in some of these industries that would address some of these things in one-on-one, as opposed to just, well, that was a nice article, or this was, you know, some food for thought. But, you know, after they listen to this podcast, I mean, will they react to something? And I'm hoping that we can at least get someone, if we can get one person, to a distributor or a manufacturer, to go and say, hey, let's try something. I think we will have won in the long run, but again, it's a long-term commitment. But
definitely, if people are interested in hearing more about what Bob Conti said, they can just go to mdm.com/ and then executive briefing. It's just all one word, and that it's about a 20-minute thing that you can just listen to on your computer, and it provides a few more concrete kind of tips to kind of move forward on some of these thoughts.
Great. Well, I really appreciate Lindsay your time today, and you've overwhelmed me with all the good information. We could have had a podcast on each one of these things, but it was a great overview of what's happening and the ideas of what can be done moving forward. So I really thank you for your insights there.
Well, thank you for having me, John. I've enjoyed myself.
Okay.